The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive. Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I am Craig Wade.
And I am Brian Allen Delaney.
And we might be having some issues. I can't tell if we're... we're not in the same room this week. So, anyway, what's your week been like, Brian?
I don't know. busy, I guess? Well, I mean, kind of. It's the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. So... things are, I guess, are starting to calm down at work and junk.
Calm down? Oh, I figured they'd pick up.
Well, it's weird summer because, like, yes, things kind of slow down, but it gets more hectic because people need to, like, reschedule a lot and junk like that.
Okay. So you're going to basically just be getting back into the swing of things?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I just got back from the casino.
Yep.
I didn't do great. I didn't do bad. I lost $150,000. Not even $150. That's accounting for gas. I actually lost $100. So for casino, that's a win.
Yeah.
So anyway, but no, I had an awesome time. So I'm really like sleep deprived because we played for like 4 hours. Then I went to sleep. Then I woke up, played for 4 hours, went to sleep for like 2 hours, and then played for 5 hours. So I woke up at like 4 this morning, and before we had to check out. So anyway, it was cool. I had a good time. Turned 32.
Woo! Yep. Happy birthday.
Thanks, bro. Thanks, dude. But anyway, other than that, I just had a... had a weekend where we went out of town. It was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. But I did not really see a whole lot. Like, I don't know if it's been, like, a slow news summer or what as far as, like, movies go. Mm-hmm. But I really haven't seen anything in a while that really piqued my interest. The only thing that I've taken away from news the past few weeks is, A, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Yes, which is the subject of our new
poll.
Poll, yes.
Vote for it. B-movies and ebooks if you haven't already. Basically, the question. I don't remember what it says, but it's
just basically, is it a good idea or not?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, we're gonna get into that next week, so I don't want to get super into it, but did you see that the CW is picking up a Friday the 13th TV show?
I did.
Is this a good idea or a bad idea? I know you love CW shows.
Well, I guess it depends on how, for teenagers it is.
Yeah.
As to whether or not I'll like it.
Well, the thing is, like, so if it's super for teenagers, you're going to love it?
Probably. I was a huge fan of at least the first season of Teen Wolf.
I know, dude. You're the only person to know that watched it.
And then, like, I just kind of stopped watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know where it went after that. I don't even know if I finished the first season. I don't think I did.
That's like me. Do you remember, like, the Being Human? Not the sci-fi one, but the original, the one on the BBC?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I watched the first season, and I was like, that is one of the coolest shows I've ever seen. I'm in this for life. Never like, I think I even sent, like, a tweet. Like, I knocked that and, like, the first season of Mad Men out in the same weekend. I was like, shit, TV, it's not going to get better.
Golden Age of TV.
Both of them, I quit, like, immediately. But yeah. No, I don't know if Friday the 13th is actually a really good idea. I mean, obviously, it's going to be the popular opinion to say that it's shit. And I'm going to give it... I'm going to give it... I think it's going to suck. But I'm going to give it a, you know, I can't not give it a watch, you know?
It was, it's intriguing to see where they go with it.
Yeah, the problem with it, though, is so much was based on over-the-top gore that I think the CW could probably skirt. I mean, they'd be fine showing most of that because censors have kind of loosened up a lot on network TV standards as far as violence goes. But yeah, I mean,
sometimes like Supernatural gets really like hardcore with it. People explode and junk like that.
Yeah, but I mean,
okay, not really hardcore, but I mean hardcore for like, you know, primetime television standards.
No, no, I got you. I'm not saying that it's not. I mean, what I've seen of Supernatural, I've liked, but I mean, I'm nowhere near the super fan you are. But I don't really know. Like, so much of it was based on violence and TNA, and uh-huh. I don't know that Friday the 13th kind of works without either of those. Even the remake totally was dripping with
because like,
gore and nudity.
Jason himself is kind of boring.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, he's like a force of nature more than he is like a homicidal maniac or anything like that. And so it's like, it's not so a matter of like, if he's going to get you, it's just when.
You know,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. He mostly, I think that's why the nudity and stuff works so well in those movies is because he's a cautionary tale of, you know. Yeah. Like, if you drink or have sex as a teenager, especially in the woods, he's going to come get you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of, like, urban legends started as. Mm-hmm. Stuff like the hook for a hand and junk like that.
Mm-hmm. No, as much as I really liked the remake, I thought it was good. I mean, it worked as just kind of a straight-up sequel, other than the fact that it recapped the first three movies right off the top. But did you know, I didn't notice this until recently. I actually listened to an interview with Derek Mears, you know, who played Jason in the remake.
Mm-hmm.
In the remake, he never drowned. His mom died. His mom was a killer. Mm-hmm. His mom died, and mm-hmm. he was a feral child.
Huh.
Which I didn't notice at all until the remake. Which, in fact, I even think I remember something in the beginning where the mom was even saying, you know, a boy died, blah, blah, blah. But he said that, no, he never drowned in it. Now, he could be full of crap and just didn't know, but I don't know. I would think Jason would know.
Yeah, you would figure. But
maybe he almost drowned and just became like a feral child. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, I kind of like... I know that, you know, he's kind of a sacred cow that you don't really play with the backstory much, or you shouldn't if you're mm-hmm. smart. But I think that kind of makes for an interesting reboot of the backstory. You?
I don't know. Like, he doesn't stick out to me as, like, the feral kind of killer. You know what I mean?
He's almost supernatural in nature to you?
Yeah. I mean, he kind of has to be because he's just like this relentless, unstoppable force.
Yeah.
It was like,
go ahead.
What?
Sorry. No, go ahead.
I'm just saying that like, if it was like feral, it'd be like, I don't know. What was the,
he wouldn't walk while you're running. Like he'd be running after you. And I mean,
or in the trees or something. He'd probably eat people. I don't know. What do feral people do?
I don't know. I hadn't met many. dude, you know there was a carny. There was like this weird community behind Walmart in Lamarck that was living in the trees. Did you hear about this? I actually only knew. I can't believe I didn't tell you about this. Okay, hey, one of my old friends was a cop in that area, and he was telling me that. They found this community like, this guy went out in the trees for some reason and started noticing there was, like, booby traps and, like, fish hooks hung at eye level and stuff.
Oh, God.
And so cops went out there to investigate what it was, because obviously you don't want that crap hanging around behind your house, you know. And it turned out there was this tent community of just crazy people that lived out there. And I mean, they broke them up. I don't know what happened after that, but no, that might just be bullshit because he's a bullshitter. But anyway, that's bizarre. So anyway, that doesn't really fit with our content, but it does kind of fit with Jason and
kinda just tangentially.
Yeah. Other than that, nothing really going on.
There was like Star Wars news.
Anything you want to talk about?
Not really. No, like Disney, they're going to do like Star Wars themed parks or areas of Disneyland and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I think Disney acquiring it is obviously a smart business move for them and stuff, but I do think that they're going to push it until the average Star Wars fan, not diehard fans, but will reach burnout levels.
Oh yeah. Because you know, it, like we talked about last week with the superhero stuff, there's like 7 or 8 Star Wars movies planned.
Well, I know the only one I want to see is the Boba Fett one.
they just released a cast picture of the Red Squadron one, or Red One, or whatever it's called. Rogue One, sorry.
Yeah.
Which is like a, basically just fighter pilot movie.
That's cool.
That could be
cool. And you know what? I think that is actually kind of cool, because there is a huge community that really embraced the books, that kind of delved further into the world. Mm-hmm. Even though now it's not canon.
And they're all getting the shaft. And they're all getting the shaft.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It would be a hell of a script consultant that had read it all, you know?
And just outsource it to the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely just, not a...
Just go to, like, you know, the most frequented Reddits or whatever, and hire the moderators.
I hope the good guys shoot first in this one.
God. Oh, I just watched, speaking of Star Wars, somebody on YouTube, if you give me a second, I can find who it was, but somebody on YouTube did a supercut, basically, of all the differences between the original and the re-release of Star Wars.
Oh, really? I saw the heading of something like that about a week ago on Reddit, but I didn't click it because, you know, because I'm not, I didn't click it because, I mean, I was like, oh, that's cool, but I'm not really huge into Star Wars. I like it. I mean,
I watched a couple of them because it was kind of neat. I can't find the name of him. Anyway, but it was really, really cool. I mean, it was interesting to see his name's Marcelo Zuniga. Zuniga? I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry.
Z-U-N-I-G-A?
Z-U-N. Yeah.
Okay. That's another name that I can't pronounce, but I've seen a million times.
Yeah. It was really interesting. Like, you know, there was a lot of subtle differences that I wouldn't even have noticed if somebody didn't spell it out, basically.
Oh, really?
Like, just adding, like, CGI rocks in front of R2-D2 in certain scenes and junk like that. It was weird.
That is
odd. And then there were certain scenes, like, because it was between the 2011 re-release and the original, right? And there were certain scenes where, like, it would break it down more in depth, because, like, there would be a difference in the 2004 re-release.
Oh, really?
And junk like that. Yeah, like, there was one that was in Jedi. The lightsaber colors had been washed out in the 2004 version, right? Because, you know, if you look at it, it's like a white core with a colory glow, right? And then the one in the 2004 was just a solid color, basically.
Oh,
and
really?
And they went back and yeah, and they went back and fixed it in 2011. So there was just like,
what do you mean by fix? Turn it back.
Turn
to
it back
original?
to the white with the kind of colory halo.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're a huge Star Wars fan and interested in various technical things, I guess that's cool.
It was actually a lot more entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
Now, was it more entertaining than you made it out to be just then? I'm just kidding. No, it sounds cool. It's just, you know, I don't know.
Not your bag.
Yeah. But it's obviously, since that's one of the biggest films of all time, it's a lot of people's thing. So, other than that, Toxic City podcast, obviously, is the podcast for Toxic City Comics. And
obviously,
I saw on Friday Bill from Longbox Small Talks band playing at Toxic City, and they were awesome. I really, really encourage people to check them out. Their name is Retaboice, Retaboice. I'm not sure if their stuff's available online. I think it is, though.
I know they've got like an EP.
Is it on Bandcamp?
I don't know, but I know he said they were going back into the studio soon.
Yeah, well, I got the EP. It's really good. In fact, we should use it for some stuff, but maybe not this week. But anyway, they were really good. They were like real sublimey with a female vocalist, and it was insane.
Sublime as in the band, not like, you know, transcendent.
No, dude, they played a note.
I was about to say sublime as in the band, not like Nirvana, but then I realized that would have been confusing too.
They were really, really cool. Sadly, I missed half. You know, at Toxic City, basically, you play two sets. It's one set and then another one, obviously, two sets. but it's like two 30-minute sets. Well, I thought they started at 8:30, and I was running really, really late for 8:30. And then they were like, no, they started at 8. So I came in right as their second set started. But they were really good, and they covered what song? Oh, All These Things That I've Done by The Killers, because that's one of my huge guilty pleasures. I don't know if that's why they did it, but they dedicated it to me, so I was really excited. It's like, cool. So it was crazy. I looked at Peaches, and I was like, dude, this band, like, it's almost like they... I don't know how far they go back, but they have this feeling of somebody that's like played like a million years with each other. Like, I don't know. It's just crazy. They were just real, real tight. And so
nice.
I was like, man, is this like a family band? And then Bill.
So basically the opposite of our band, because we literally have played a million shows together and we are super sloppy.
That's what I was laughing about. I mean, they were just super tight. And Bill, like, not that I have any, you know, I didn't have any doubts whether or not Bill would be good, but I haven't seen him play bass, you know, for a band. And he was locking in really, really tight. Like, it was insane. They were really, really good. And plus, they're going to let us use their PA for our upcoming show at Toxic City Comics on September 5th. Which also was really cool, because I don't know them other than Bill. And so he was like, talk to them. I've talked to them, but, you know, you probably want to introduce yourself. So anyway, but yeah. So yeah, Retaboice, check them out. With that, do you want to get into our conversation, like into our reviews?
Sure.
Which one do you want to review first, the book or the movie?
I'm going to defer to your expert judgment today. let's do movie first.
Okay.
Or do you want to do book first?
I don't care. I'm good.
Let's do movie first.
Okay. All right. We will be back with our review for Dude Bro Party Massacre 3 by 5 Second Films. We'll be back. All right, that was TV Party by Black Flag off their album Damaged. If you don't own that album, seriously, what's wrong with you? So, anyway, all right, so coming up, we are reviewing Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, which online anywhere will tell you stars Patton Oswalt. And he's in it, but I don't...
He's in like three scenes.
Yeah. And he's solid in those scenes, but he's... Yeah. I would say that it's far from a starring role.
No. If he got top billing, then that one dude from Bones should have gotten second billing.
All right. Now, I will say I did have... I told you beforehand that I have very strong feelings one way or another.
Yes.
What do you think it is?
I want to say you didn't like it.
Really? Okay. And I'm guessing that you felt a little more than lukewarm about it.
Yeah.
Is that really? Is that really right?
There were parts of it I genuinely loved, now, and then a lot of it I didn't.
Now I will tell you that I've been wrestling since I saw it all weekend. What I'm going to rate this. And I came up with something. I figure I'll just get this out of the gate before we get into it. Okay. I'm going to go with my second instinct because my first was to give it a 5 out of 5.
Okay, what's your second instinct?
I'll go 4.5 out of 5. I can't rate it higher than Mad Max. I love this movie, though. I absolutely
I was just saying that you didn't like it just because you seemed like you were trying to bait me.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I absolutely love this movie. but do you want to go? I guess starting off, it tells you that this was Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. All copies have been destroyed except for a kid that recorded it late at night on his VCR, and so have like it starts with like a vacation footage.
It's like a little kid riding his bike for the first time.
That's what it was. And then taped over it. And so the master copy is this tape that recorded, or it was a taped copy that was recorded from a program that was similar to like Up All Night.
Yeah.
And
it was the midnight morning movie.
Yeah. And so anyway, and so you have a lot of like commercials or like the beginnings of commercials. And then it's like he stopped it to start recording it when it came back on. I will say I could see where people will hate this movie. I just thought that it was amazing. And you know what? I've noticed this while watching it. There wasn't 1 minute of anything without humor. Like, every minute in the entire movie, it was just packed with jokes that seemed fresh. Like, yes, it's making fun of old movies, but or old slasher movies, more specifically. Mm-hmm. But it delved into tropes, but didn't make that the subject of all of its jokes. You know, so it seemed a lot fresher than something that was just spoofing the genre.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, there was a lot of really funny things in it to me. There was a lot of jokes that just kind of fell flat too.
Yeah, no, I will say that. But I will say there were scenes where I literally, dude, I lost my shit laughing so hard at this movie, certain parts, and a lot of the humor wasn't consistent. Like sometimes it would be, you know, as you said, just kind of duds, but even the tone of the humor wasn't, it wasn't like one style of humor. It wasn't wacky. It wasn't slapstick. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't subdued. It was like everything all in one, you know, it was like they were trying to mix anything that worked. Just throw a bunch of crap and saw what stuck. But when they went dark with some of the dark humor in this movie, oh my God, I lost it. Like the guy that had lost his family because of the prank.
the paddle boat?
Yes.
No, there, like I would say, after about the halfway mark, right? The movie was pretty great for me. There was like, I don't know. There were some particular scenes because like the montage of them cleaning up the sorority house, but not really doing anything. was great. The they were just putting like they were putting beers in the couch cushions
and
junk. And it's
like that doesn't even make any sense. And like Andrew WK goes on the roof, and then they just pull the ladder out and leave him up there.
well, you know, I mean, there was, I don't know, the very beginning with the recap of the previous two. Dude Bro Party Massacres were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because it was like, what, hour 40? Something like that.
Yeah, it did. I would think that it would run better at an hour 20.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like somewhere in that beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of, it just kind of lost me for a little while. Yeah, yeah. But then I would say, you know, once they had to go to the sorority house, because they get basically, you know, Animal House style double secret probation sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like they just get kicked off campus, right? And so they go to this old abandoned sorority house in the middle of the woods, which doesn't even make any sense. But it's on the lake, mm-hmm. right? So they have like a dude bro party on the lake. No girls allowed. Mm-hmm. So they have saying.
Yeah.
But once they got, like, to the lake in junk, I think it really started picking back up for me.
Yeah, it's been last summer whenever this movie was, like, on a Kickstarter, Indiegogo, one of the two campaigns.
It was a Kickstarter, I think.
I was really pissed because it was just the idea of an all-dude slasher movie. Me and Rodney from Long Box Small Talk, which I don't know that we've ever delved into, but we used to be roommates, and we moved out and started living together because we wanted to write. And one of the things we wanted to write was Sausage Fest or the Sausage Party Massacre. Just an all-dude horror movie.
I think, yeah, that was the name of it.
And so I was a little bummed that, like, oh, man, that's already been taken. But yeah, this movie, I could not have loved it more, dude. Kelsey was asleep, and she woke up multiple times at me just, like, trying to control my laughter. It was so funny, dude. Yeah, I don't know what was so funny about it, but it made me laugh so hard. And I don't want to get into it because a lot of it is spoilers, because the scenes that I laughed at were actually pivotal, not just throwaway jokes. Like the end, whenever he was trying to figure out who the killer was.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
And I forgot the person's.
I guess we didn't even say the plot, did we? Because there actually is a plot.
Yeah.
Besides that, because it's like the guy, the main character, mm-hmm. from the first two Dude Pro Party Massacres was killed, and his twin brother is trying to figure out who killed him.
Yeah.
Basically.
And so he joins
behind it.
Yeah, he joins the frat that he got killed in, and I don't know. And so then a killer called Motherface was after them. And
yeah, because in the first one, it was the mom, mm-hmm. right? And they killed her, right? And then the second one, her daughter took her face off, like the mom's face, and wore it as a mask and became Motherface.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, I'm not going to say who it was.
No.
Because that's spoilers.
And honestly, I wish that they had gone a little closer with, again, spoilers, but yeah, I wish that they were able to tie who did it a little better, but just from a slasher fan perspective, I thought that was a little weak. However, mm-hmm. Dude, this movie, so good. This is it was less like Scary Movie and more like Student Bodies. Do you remember that Student Bodies, the 80s movie that was spoofing 80s horror movies?
Vaguely.
Remember, there was like, I don't know, I don't know. We watched it when we were teenagers. I own it on DVD. It's just, he had like, he was that real loud breather killer. And they were like, I don't know. He was all out of breath and stuff. Anyway, it kind of matched that kind of tone to me. But I...
No, I can see that because, like, Scary Movie, especially, you know, 3 through 8 or however many they're on now, just seemed kind of like a cash grab. This seems kind of like, you know, they actually had an appreciation for the genre.
Yeah.
You know, it was done, sure, it was over the top and it was making fun of a lot of the ideas that, you know, some of those just silly slashers that came out had, mm-hmm. right? But there was like a kind of like a reverence, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
It was never like making fun of the slasher concept. It was just making jokes
yeah.
with it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. And one thing that I think really led this to being as good overall as it is it was made by 5 Second Films, who, if you're familiar with, they make really, really quick, just YouTube stuff. And mm-hmm. so generally it's, I've seen some of their stuff. I'm not like a big fan, but mm-hmm. I believe that in the beginning they tried to stay under 5 seconds, and and so it was kind of like really good Vine videos.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe in something like in the last few years they've just kind of gone on to just shorts, you know.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that it would be this jam-packed with a company that's mm-hmm. used to entertaining you in 5 seconds. You know, yeah. making a full movie. And I agree, a lot of it did not work, but there was something just so fun about it.
I feel like, and this is going to be kind of weird, but I feel like if I was drunk,
yeah,
this would be the best movie ever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was very tired, but not drunk whenever I saw it. I watched it on Friday night after we saw Red Boys, they were just like, it was just the right thing to watch. Like, I was laughing so hard.
It was good. I mean, like, and I also feel possibly, I don't know. I was going to say, if you're like kind of fratty, it might be even better, but I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. If it's more of indictment or not. Though.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Because I don't know.
I have some fratty tendencies, but I don't think I'm very super fratty. I enjoy beer pong.
But there were parts of it where it kind of became self-aware,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, not that it wasn't the whole time, but like where it actually started kind of breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Whenever like the characters became part of the commercials and stuff.
Oh, yeah. But no, like, okay, there was one line. I'm going to go ahead and spoil a couple things because it makes my point. But there was one line like towards the end where I won't say his name, where she's like, oh, have you seen so-and-so, right? Have you seen Frank? Let's just say Frank. And he's like, honestly, I don't even remember who Frank is. Yeah. It was so great because it's like all the people in the frat were basically interchangeable, yeah. with the exception of a couple of main characters.
Yeah, and so like he walks by these two dead guys, and this is in the trailer. Yeah. And they're like cut in half and like dying, and he's like, oh no! And they were like, you don't even know who we are. And he's like, yeah, dude, flannel shirt bro number one, or flannel shirt bro, and whatever,
and like else. Turtleneck bro.
Yeah, and they're like, you got lucky. Yeah.
But stuff like that really, you know, turned it around for me. And there was like one part where the one character on the zip line, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But whenever they talked about it again later,
yeah, the flashback.
Right, whenever there was a flashback to it, mm-hmm. and he was like, "We never established he was afraid of heights." And then the other guy was like, "Who cares? This whole thing is a mess."
Yeah.
Like that.
Like. Yeah, that it also kind of reminded me kind of the humor of Wet Hot American Summer.
I was thinking Cannibal.
Yeah, I could see that. Cannibal the Musical, which is for a long time has been mine, yours, and Peach's. It's our Citizen Kane.
Like, basically, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I think we all have movies that we like more than that. However, if us three are hanging out together, that's the perfect movie.
Yeah. That movie's so good. Yeah. But no, it had a lot of stuff that kind of reminded me of that. I don't know. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah. So what would you rate it?
I'm kind of torn between like 4 and 3.5.
Yeah. And 4, I think probably. That's a fair rating.
You know, the more I think about it, and I think the last 40 minutes of it would probably push it to 4 for me.
Okay. I mean, that's a solid rating. We've never given anything a 5 out of 5 ever.
No. Mad Max, but that was it.
Yeah, but I only gave it a 5 on the podcast. When I look back at the written review, it was 4.5.
Was it?
Yep. So anyway, but I will say for me, this is 4.5. I wanted to go 5, but I didn't want people to question why I gave it a 5 versus other things. This one just hit all the right buttons for me. I absolutely love this movie. So, anyway, check it out right now.
Oh, and the ending, like the actual final showdown between him and the murderer. Mm-hmm. Golden.
Yeah.
Golden.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Really.
Oh, and also, there was a commercial for a movie that I would totally watch if they made it called Pizza Goblins. Yeah. It was like the first commercial they showed or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I would totally watch that movie. It looked like Critters, but pizza based.
Yeah, it looked great. I don't know. I really, really thought. Yeah, it looked like Critters or like Killer Condom.
Like, yeah.
Those bad movies.
Ghoulies.
Yeah, Ghoulies.
Remember that one? Yeah. But it was like Siskel and Ebert raved, and it was like Two Thumbs Way Down. I'd watch it. It looks good. I mean, and I do appreciate the whole sticking to like the VHS genre.
Yeah, I did too. And my wife just FaceTimed me.
I could hear her.
Yeah, I didn't know FaceTime is a speakerphone.
Yeah,
which makes sense because you can't
hold it to your face.
Yeah, it'd be ear time. Anyway, I think that it kind of bums me out whenever projects that are kickstarted turn out to be this good, because most of the time they don't. What?
It bums you out when they're this good.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, they're not getting the kind of distribution that a lot of eyes are going to see it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of sold directly and just on pay-per-view. And so, I don't know. It also bums me out that I could have bought this for $10, but opted to rent it for $5. And I want my $5 back to apply to buying it. But I also really want a hard copy of it, though.
That would be kind of neat, like if iTunes Rentals did that or something.
Give you a second chance. Even if they give you half your money back, that'd be great.
No, I mean, just like apply your rental to own it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, even if they gave me like $350, you know, $350 off to buy it, you know, that'd be awesome. Because, but it's a double cash grab, and it's fair. So, anyway, that's
the way it worked in brick and mortar shops, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you went and rented it, and then you went to a different store and bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if they make Pizza Goblins, you'll watch it?
Oh, I'll totally watch it.
Maybe they will. Who knows? Or maybe that's already a 5-second film.
It might be.
So... Anyway, yeah, check that out. I highly recommend you check it out. Unless you're only a fan of horror and don't like comedies, because this is a comedy.
It's a comedy with horror elements, not a horror movie with comedy elements.
Yeah, whereas Shaun of the Dead, I consider a horror movie with comedy. Even though it's hilarious, I mean, it works as a horror film. This one does not work as a horror film. It is a comedy. It's just got some gore and stuff. So, anyway, that's it. So, we'll be back with Don't Read by Matt Shaw, our review of that.
Long Box Small Talk is a comedic yet informative view into the world of comic book media with a bearded man child and a punk rock never was been. Join them every Wednesday on the B-Movie and eBooks Network. That's Long Box Small Talk on bmoviesandebooks.com.
All right, welcome back. We're going to get into Don't Read by Matt Shaw. Now, Brian...
Okay. So I was going to say right off the bat, I have, a tenuous relationship with the splatterpunk genre, right? Uh-huh. So do you think I liked this one or not?
I thought you hated this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it delved really, really far into just gratuity for gratuity's sake. But the difference is it tells you off the beginning, like from the beginning, from the cover of the book, that it's like light on plot, heavy on, what was it, gore or something?
Yeah, it was something like that. Anyway. I don't remember.
But
we really do our research.
And this is the first thing you've read by Matt Shaw, right?
I think so.
I know
because there hasn't been anything else.
Nothing we've covered on here. This is the... well, we covered Clown, but that was the week that I think I just covered it.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is only the third thing I've read by him.
It's plot, minimal, carnage, everything.
Okay. So anyway, but yeah, that was the reason that I thought that you probably were like, eh. So you really liked it or what?
I actually did like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if like really liked it. I thought it was interesting because even though it says plot, minimal, carnage, everything, it wasn't.
Really? You thought it wasn't?
No, I don't think it was.
I thought that, okay, I will say that I felt that it did push into gratuitous violence for no reason, but that was in line with his character.
Yeah.
And so that alone makes it reason, like it makes it, you know, worth a damn. And and also it was kind of cool that the way that he wrote this book was just kind of cool. The switching from first to third person.
I think that's what caught my interest.
This is the story of a killer, and it switches from a reliable narrator to a killer's perspective, and it kind of retells some of the events. They kind of overlap in places, but for the most part, it still advances the story. So it'll catch it. I don't know. The overlapping is minimal, but
yeah, it was more of a way to do flashbacks mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. What I thought was really cool. Like I like Matt Shaw's writing. I don't think I could sit and just chain read only Matt Shaw because of the three things that I've read. All of them have been pretty downers.
Great.
But I think that he's as I mentioned the year review mini episode that we did. Not year review, but our like 1 year spectacular, which we kind of wasn't spectacular.
I was about to say, I don't even remember that.
Well, we just talked about the fact that we've heard a lot of cool new voices in the past year that without doing this podcast, we wouldn't have. You know, I kept bringing...
When we got all sappy.
Yeah. When we were both crying. I mentioned him in that because... You know, I haven't read a lot of him. I've read Well, he's got a short story collection that I have, and I've read some of it. But he also, I got, what is it, The Clown, this one, and some home video. I think it's home video. I don't know. But anyway, it's been a while since I read that. Anyway, he's a really, really crazy writer as far as his writing style. It seems unhinged, and it seems pretty, like, dangerous in places. What, is that going too far?
No, I'm interesting word choice.
Well, I mean, the thing is, a lot of writers, even whenever they go into, like, let's say something, some of these torture scenes, like, this went pretty far, whereas a lot of writers would edit that out. They would self-edit, but he does not seem to do that, and so
maybe that's what was missing from some of the other ones. Because I've said that before, was like, it seemed like some of them didn't go too far enough. You know what I mean? That was one of my criticisms.
Splatterpunk or what?
Yeah, I think that was what happened with some of Born to Bleed and stuff like that. Was I was like, you know, because my main criticism was like, well, yeah, it was from first person or whatever, but that meant that a lot of it was behind the veil, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then this was not.
But right? You had a good review. I mean, you had a positive review of Born to Bleed.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't.
Are you thinking I Died?
Not Born to Bleed, the other one, Summer I Died.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't think I would even consider
Born to Bleed. No, I really liked Born to Bleed.
Yeah.
No, but like that sort of thing, there was basically no stone unturned sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like the very first scene, like the end of that, right?
Yeah.
The diner scene, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. No, I will say this starts off with a bang and it ends with a bang. The only problem that I kind of had is in the middle. I think some of my problem with this, and I use the term problem loosely because I still would give this a very favorable review. Like I hadn't even thought about it, but 3.5 or 4, one of them, it's going to be, which to me, that's a 7 or 8 out of 10, you know?
Yeah.
So, really high marks.
That's math.
Obviously, but it doesn't carry the weight. 3.5 out of 5 seems low, but a 7 out of 10 seems pretty high to me. But anyway, but I don't know. I mean, it seemed like it packed a punch in the beginning and in the end. And yes, there were some moments in the middle, but that's where it just kind of seemed gratuitous. Especially whenever he talked about the victim. Prior to the one that wasn't involved in the story, the flashback
victim. Yeah, yeah. Francine or whatever it was.
Yeah, Francis. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, it may be Francine. I don't remember, honestly. we're doing our homework, huh? I don't know. I just felt like some of this didn't quite pack the punch that Clown did for me. But, you know, you can't compare apples to oranges. You could, but you can't really, give anything an expectation just based on anything else. Like, Stephen King has written a lot of great stuff. He's also written a lot of crap, you know? And you couldn't be like, this one's not The Shining. So it's an unfair.
This isn't The Langoliers.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was an unfair comparison for me to try to do that. So anyway, do you want, we hadn't really even gotten into the story.
Well, plot's minimal.
Well, yeah. So really it's just, it's kind of chronicling this journey of a killer that has no motive. He's just doing it.
Yeah.
And
he's keeping basically a memoir of his actions. So in case he ever forgets, he can read it again and relive it.
Yeah.
And that's where the title of the book comes from, because it's on his journal, is Don't Read, because it's like for some reason he thinks that's going to stop people from actually reading it.
Yeah. I did like how it kind of delved into meta stuff as far as him being a writer. It almost spoke for mm-hmm. Matt Shaw himself saying, like, oh yeah, going back to this victim, would the reader really even care? We hadn't even mentioned her. It's out of chronological order, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was super cool.
I'm not sure, like, because this is my first, you know, Matt Shaw thing, mm-hmm. right? But it's, I don't know how the rest of his stuff is, if it's like this, if it's just shock value or whatever. It almost seemed like a criticism of it, you know, because it's like, you know, one of the quotes that I highlighted was, they needed to be horrible. It was, after all, horror. The more grisly the segments, the better the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that and, was and stuff like not that. So subtle criticism yeah. of the genre.
And there was, yeah, and it's like, for him, it was definitely about the violence only. Still, it was 30 minutes or just under of mindless chit-chat that didn't make the cut of the book, and he was soon pinning the horrors he committed. And so it's like all these sections about how, like, the actual, like, you know, dialogue and the character development didn't matter.
Yeah,
because all that mattered was how horrible the stuff was. See, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry, go.
And so I'm not sure if that was, like, you know, a criticism of the genre, or if it's that's what he thinks, like, is the actual important stuff, because it seemed like more of a criticism to me. Because, you know, you got this book that even says plot, minimal carnage, everything, and, like, the carnage scenes were only, like, half of it. You know? The rest was kind of
a road story?
Yeah, it was a road story, and it was a look into the actual mind of the killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there was a lot of stuff that he wrote in his journal that would just be like stream of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and he'd be like, oh, I don't even know why I wrote that down, and junk like that, because he was just crazy.
Yes. I think that he, I don't know, I, like I said, I've bought quite a few of his books, because they're all pretty cheap on mm-hmm. on Amazon, but I've only gotten around to reading three of them, so I can't speak for everything, but what I've read have all been his black cover books, so they all have the same cover. Which basically is just a disclaimer that the book's going to be really just kind of violent, if not for everyone. And that in and of itself is the reason.
It looks like Run DMC almost.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, he's got all sorts of books. Dude, the dude is super prolific. I mean, he writes and writes and writes. And it doesn't really matter to me what he's writing. He's got my attention as a reader, because I like an author that I know that I'm going to enjoy, that puts mm-hmm. something out at a good price point that's mutually beneficial, you know? So if he writes two books a month, which sometimes he has put out, if he writes it, it doesn't matter that I'm going to read it or not. I like to just buy them as they come out, because I know that, you know, he's self-publishing, and he needs money coming in, and I like to see content keep coming. So it's worth $3 a month for me to keep this going.
Two books a month is like R.L. Stein territory.
Well, I mean, everything's kind of a novella. Like, they're not super long. I think that he has some longer stuff, but everything that I've read has been his black cover books, but I've also read some of his short story collection, which is called Bite Sized, and it's on Amazon. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I really, really like him. I think that he's a really good writer, and, you know, like I said before, extremely prolific. So, mm-hmm. what specifically, you know, just as an American reading this, like, do you find the English, because he's obviously, you know, English.
What?
Did you find any of that off-putting or what?
No, not really. I mean, my brother-in-law is from London.
Yeah. Well, I will say the one thing that kind of threw me for a loop, which you know, it was specific only to this book, was Laurie. I had to look up everything else, but even context clues, because it's so you know, in the book so often.
There was one really, really British line that had like three or four British slangs in it in the same time.
Is this Guy Ritchie's?
Yeah, and I was like, nobody's going to know what that stuff means.
Yeah.
No, but it wasn't bad. I mean, like, I didn't know he was British at first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it kind of threw me for because like in the first paragraph or something, he says something that's really British.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's a weird thing for an American author to do, because I just assume everyone's American, apparently.
That's a very American thing of you to do.
Just no. Just in like the first thing, in the first paragraph, he says sacks of rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah. She was taking out the rubbish.
Taking it to the bin. Yeah. And I was like, huh.
What an odd thing for an American to say. But yeah. So anyway, I
do have one kind of criticism for it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because you said it starts off with a bang, right? And it does. But to me, like, because there's only 9 chapters or so. And then the first 2 chapters are kind of like a prologue, almost.
Just kind of setting it up.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And then the rest of the story. But to me, the first 2, especially the second one, whenever it gets into the actual, like...
Into the lorry?
Killing. Well, no. Into the, like, to the killing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was so much going on that it almost just seemed more like a horse race announcer or something like that. It was like, and he did this, and then he did that, and then he did this, and then he did that. And it was like sentence after sentence of action, 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 action.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh my goodness. But then it didn't really do that for the rest of the book.
I got you.
And so the first 2, I already said like at the end of that one, there was an like, you know, oh my God moment that really
the end or
caught,
what?
Yeah. The end of that really caught my attention. But mm-hmm. like up until then I was just like, oh man, you know, I hope not all of the action is like this. 'Cause it just seemed too, I don't know. Like he's trying to get so much crammed into the page.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that it just kind of lost
the impact.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
I
but then the rest
that.
Of it wasn't like that.
Well, whenever I said that it starts off with a bang, I actually wasn't really... I mean, yeah, part of it was talking about that. And I even made note at the time of... I had to pause and, like, think about the placement of certain things. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about the diner and stuff where all this was happening. Because, mm-hmm. like, I'm trying to place where the actions were happening. Because it took... Action took hold over the setting. So mm-hmm. as he's doing all of this, I'm like, are they at the fry station? Where are they? You know?
Yeah, it got a little jumbled.
But no, what I was saying is what was leading up to that, kind of the banter between him and the waitress, mm-hmm. where the other waitress there had gone missing, and then there's this guy that's kind of being like, hey, would you, you know, what if I wanted to. You know, what if I killed your manager? You know, I likened it to what is that scene? Shit. No Country for Old Men, where he's
I've still never seen that movie.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, so nope. So he's
I never saw that or There Will Be Blood. And those were like the 2 huge movies of that year.
I think if you've gone this far, just skip them.
No, I think I own one of them.
There Will Be Blood I've seen probably 10 times and I still don't know if I like it. It's just a good movie to throw on to go to sleep to. But No Country has this just crazy tense scene where the guy at the gas station doesn't know that the killer, you know, is a killer. And mm-hmm. he's just like, yeah, all I remember is this crumpling candy bar wrapper and the killer's debating whether or not he's going to kill this guy or not. And it's just like extremely tense and there's nothing really, it doesn't pay off. He doesn't kill the guy, you know, or I guess it does pay off. I don't know. Just depending on how you want to see it.
What perspective you have.
But, But yeah, the beginning of this really, really did that for me. I was like, shit, man, this is insane. And then mm-hmm. the end, I was like, he did it. You know? So that's what I'm saying. Like, whenever I use terms like, you know, dangerous writing or whatever, he goes over the top with some of the gratuity, which is expected because it is a black cover book or whatever. We've all been warned. And it's also splatterpunk for the most part. Even though I don't know that he is generally considered to be a splatterpunk writer. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He just kind of shows up under horror. But when I say that, that he's dangerous, he's subverting expectations and stuff. He doesn't always opt for, in fact, in everything I've read, he doesn't opt for a popular ending, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, but dude, he's got like 50 or 100 books or something. Like, get them all while it's cheap because
there's got to be at least one happy ending in there.
I don't know. He even has a memoir book that I have as well, but it's just about his bouts with depression, and mm-hmm. it's really, really cool. Like, I don't know. It's just, I think that it's real ballsy of somebody, especially at his level, which he's becoming a well-known face in horror, but he's definitely not a household name for the average household. And so I think that that's a real, real ballsy move because I don't know how it is over in England, but over here in America, we don't really talk that often about, you know, your own personal battle with depression or any mental illness, you know?
Well, I mean, unless you're like a reality TV star.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but
what about Intervention? I guess that's not really mental illness, but it's still putting your stuff out there.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that that's a big problem in our country, the fact that we don't talk about it, you know. Not to get real dark on this podcast, but, you know, it takes somebody like a Robin Williams committing suicide to get people to even talk about the fact that we don't talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that it's really refreshing to see somebody that's just putting it all out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Anyway, and also he's got a Kickstarter right now for his novel. It's for a film adaptation of his novel Happy Ever After, which they just hit their funding goal. I'm friends with him on Facebook, so that's how.
I just looked it up. They have like 20 days left, but they hit
their funding goal. But you know, it's still very low budget. What is it? 5,000 pounds.
5,000 pounds. Yeah.
So. Roughly, I don't know, what, $8,000-$9,000? I'm not sure what the currency is.
It would be closer to 10. Yeah. Oh, well, 8,000-9,000 is close.
Yeah, so, it's like close to $2 for a pound, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, but yeah, I'm sure that, you know, any money over really helps. So if that seems like something that you're into, definitely hit up his Kickstarter page and help him out because, I mean, it seems like he's going places, and I really reviewed it, or I really, really liked everything that I've read. So, what would your final rating be?
3.5, 4, somewhere in that range.
That's exactly where I'm at. I will lock it down to a 3.75 out of 5. Something we can't do
you can.
Oh, we can? It can give 0.75 stars on our site?
I believe so.
It doesn't give me that option.
Are you coding it right?
It says 3.5 or 4, but this is 2 inside baseball.
Are you doing the semicolon? There needs to be a semicolon in it.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I would say if you're into really, really extreme stuff, especially like, you know, killers and stuff, he seems to be able to get inside the mind, you know, give you a pretty good take on killers in general, where a lot of people kind of keep it bland. He doesn't. His killers in these books, at least in this and Clown, are fully formed characters, and I don't know. I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, it was good stuff.
Cool. All right. Well, you got anything else?
I do not.
All right. Well.
Well, I guess go to the site, vote for our poll thing.
Yeah, we're gonna be having the poll in, I guess, Friday, huh? So yeah, it'll come out next Monday or Tuesday, somewhere in that.
So still got a couple days left to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Leave some comments. See what you know. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
That sort of junk.
Yeah. I would think that I haven't even looked, but I would think that people are saying that Nightmare on Elm Street doesn't need to be remade.
That's exactly what you think it would be.
Yeah. So if you're strongly of the opinion that it should be remade, especially. Get in there and vote, because that...
Yeah, skew our poll.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I would imagine... I literally have not looked. I haven't voted. I haven't done anything. I haven't done what we're telling people to do. But I generally wait to further in to do it anyway. Or like last time, I didn't do it at all.
Yeah, I believe you did your vote on air.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, Chris looked back and... He voted on it before the poll went down, and it went to 50-50, Marvel, DC. And he was like, yeah, good I could times. Have done that. Anyway.
If you would have voted, it probably would have put it over the top then.
Yeah, but I think I locked it in before he did that. I didn't vote before we went to air, but I did end up voting. But anyway, no, if you're, you know, check out our poll. Check out our episodes. If you're in the Galveston area, come see us as the Remote Junkies. I mean, play at Toxic City Comics on September 5th, 8 p.m. We are in, I forget the name of the shopping center, but it's the old factory.
Old outlet mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can give you the address if you want.
Yeah, it's on Delaney Road.
Yeah. In Lamarck.
Yeah, by Boot Kickers Bingo. So, and if you can't check that out and you're in the area, or if you don't like punk music, whatever, but you do like comics, definitely check out Toxic City Comics, because they're a really cool store. So.
15033 Delaney Road.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So, all right. Well, with that, hit us up on Twitter at BNEPod, and... we will see you next time.
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by BMoviesandEbooks.com.